Welcome to Life Church Foursquare podcast with Pastor Eric. In today's message from the series, No Robots Allowed, we will hear from Pastor Eric on our faith in the Christian faith. The sermon is based on the scripture, 1 Timothy 4:12. Visit lifechurch4sq.com for more information about our service times, groups, and upcoming activities.
Why don't you guys turn in your Bibles? We're going to be in the book of Hebrews. We're going to be a few other places too, but I want us to go and go ahead and get your place in Hebrews 11. It's considered the chapter on faith, but you guys can turn there. As you do that, we're going to continue our series this week called No Robots Allowed. And the idea behind that is that we can easily just become like everyone else around us, and we literally have no life. We can get caught up in this idea or this phase where we just do whatever culture or the people around us tell us to do, and we respond the way that everyone else does, and we all just end up being robotic. We end up just being clones, and that's not the way that God has called us to live. He says that we are holy, which means to be set apart. We are to be people who call upon him and look at him and his word to how we shall live. And so we have been looking at this this verse that we've been going over and over, and many of you may even have it memorized already. It says this is like, no one despise you for your youth, or for your age, so old, young, whatever. Do not let anyone despise you, but let the believers be an example in speech and conduct and love and faith and in purity. And today we're talking about faith. But we're not going to talk about what faith is, because I think we've been to many, if you've been to church your whole life or for a few years, you go to a message, you hear a message and you tell all these things that faith is, but they don't actually tell you what it does. And today, what my focus is and what the title of the message is, what faith can do. Because what you'll notice, we all these things, conduct, speech, faith, purity, love, these are not adjectives. These are all verbs. These are things that you do, not things that you simply talk about or have this idea of. It doesn't mean, you know, oh, I should think about good speech. No, you should have good speech. It should not, yeah, I should think about having a good conduct. No, you should actually live in good conduct. And so when we are called to be people who live an example of faith, guess what? We actually have to live in faith. But there's a tension, there's an arch enemy to faith, and it's called fear. And so we constantly live this battle between faith versus fear. Because fear says I'm going to die. Anyone been on with a roller coaster with anyone who they're sitting there the entire time saying, I'm going to die, I'm going to die, I'm going to die? Yeah, that's me. I hate roller coasters. Cannot stand, especially the ones that go upside down. They're miserable. Or have you ever just been with someone, they're going in, like anything happens and their automatic response is, it's over. We're screwed. I'm done. Like, it's just, they constantly live in this place of fear. They can't even walk out to their car without making sure someone's peeking out the window watching them just in case. Except for I get the Craigslist thing. Anytime I do Craigslist, I bring two people with me. One person that's with me, and I look out. I'm not joking. You think I'm not. We bought one of our TV boxes when we were more mobile, and I literally had Paul Glino come with me, and I had someone else about four parking spots away watching to make sure just in case something happened. Because, come on, have you ever heard those people get killed through Craigslist or other things that are unpleasant? I didn't want that to happen to me, so I'm very careful. But then there's people who are faith-oriented, and some of us we'll call optimistic. They see something, oh, we could totally do that. Oh, yeah, we can do it this way. And they're very optimistic, and they're very like, there's nothing that's going to stop them. But there are those people who are falsely optimistic. Have you ever met those people? You go, can you just, oh, I can for sure do that. And then they do that like nine other times with people, and they really end up doing nothing at all. You're falsely optimistic. But we have to live in this tension between faith and fear. Fear is not a bad thing, but what you do with it. See, fear can be a place that you have, and then you choose to move forward in faith. And so there's a movie coming out. I don't know how much I'm going to, I probably won't go see it. I'll probably just Redbox it later. But it's a movie called After Earth with Will Smith and Jaden Smith. Anyone seen the previews for this, for After Earth? Yeah. It kind of looks cool, but not really. I'm not sure. Anyway, but I loved, Jason and I actually went and saw Oblivion a month or so ago, and I saw a big advertisement where they have like the 3D advertisements and all that. And I love actually the tagline, what it says. And they actually say it in the trailer too. It says, danger is real, but fear is a choice. So the dangers are going to happen. The circumstances are going to happen. But how do we respond? If fear is a choice, it means we can choose faith. The same time as faith is a choice, we can choose fear. And so each of you are at this place right now, whatever circumstance is going on in your life. And I'm not speaking out of this at a place of confidence of where I'm at right now. It's really out of a place where I'm in this, do we fear? Do we have faith? You know, I told Aaron this whole week, I go, I don't know how in the world I'm going to speak on faith this week. Because I don't have it right now. And I'm struggling. But we live in this, and I live, you live, we all live with faith and fear. But it's interesting because the Bible talks a lot about it. Because when you open this book, if you're looking to find really good people who do everything right, you're reading the wrong book. You really are. Because you're just going to find failure after failure. You're going to find people who just mess up, who do the wrong thing, who put their foot in their mouth, who cut off ears when they shouldn't cut off ears, and who make treaties that shouldn't make treaties, and bad things happen to good people. But you see that you see examples of people who are choosing to live in faith or live in fear. And one of the most famous of those is Abraham. And if you're looking at Hebrews 11, verse 8 through 11, it says this, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. He's being told to go somewhere that he's never been, to leave everything that he knows. And instead, it does not say by fear, Abraham obeyed. People think that we are terrified of God. If we don't do what he says, he's going to strike us with lightning. No, instead it says Abraham obeyed because of faith. He went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in a land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in the tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. Do you ever think that God's going to call you to a palace and you end up in a tent? I love that. Promised land, you lived in tents. Now, if you're a camping guy, that might be great. You got your Coleman and you're good to go, but you really want your Hilton, right? They're expecting a Hilton, but they got Coleman. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she was considered him faithful who had promised. When you step out in faith, you daily have that choice of fear or faith, fear or faith. And so my first point that I want to talk about today is faith gives us the ability to live in hope. So when you're fearful, you don't have hope, you have despair. And everything's horrible. Everything's going to fail. Even the food you cook is horrible because you're living in fear. No matter what, it's just you're afraid. But see, when you live in faith, you have hope. Because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But instead of residing in the unknown, you reside in the promises of God. And you know the difference when you're hanging out with someone who's in despair and in hope. I love this in Hebrews 11. So just a few verses before what we just read, it says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their condemnation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, and that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. It's saying this, if God created everything, if God created the hummingbird, don't you think God knows what you're going through? If God has a plan for the way that the earth, like the soils and the rivers and the oceans and how they're designed to replenish each other, don't you think he knows how to replenish you? See, we don't have to look. We may not know our circumstances, but we do know our God. And that's the hope that we hold on to. We don't know how the promises are going to be fulfilled. We really don't. But we know who's going to fulfill them. And in that, we have hope. You turn on, the things that happen in Oklahoma are terrible. That tornado was crazy. I don't know if you got a chance to look at the footage of it. It's crazy. But you look at the people who are there, and they go, we'll rebuild. We'll do it again. We're going to continue. They're in Tornado Alley. Yeah, we're in Earthquake Central, but how we justify it. They can see what's going to happen. We can't. But they choose to rebuild. They choose to continue to live in hope because fear just won't do anything. Fear destroys life, or faith builds life. It gives us the ability, because we know all things are possible with God, we know that the impossible things to us can become possible. See just the kind of mentality we change right now? Think of whatever you're going through right now. If you're in fear and despair, that's fine. If you're in hope, that's great. But just for a second, for 1 second, maybe 2 seconds, just think it's going to get better. And just know and recognize that feeling that happens to you. Because God wants us to live in hope. He knows that we live in a life of despair. You look all around us. The world is dying. We live in a dying world. That's not to just get crazy spiritual. No, literally, things are falling apart. That's called erosion. All these different things that we're seeing around us. It's just because the world is done now. It's dying. But there's hope. There's hope. See, faith gives us the ability to live in hope. Number two, faith sustains us. Because we can think for that 1 or 2 seconds, but what about 1 or 2 days? What about each second that goes by? Each week? Each month? You're in the same dark season. See, faith will sustain you. And it may be hard. It may be difficult. But it will sustain you. I can speak this out of personal experience because I've walked through it and because I'm walking through it. And I'm not only teaching to you guys today, I promise you. I need to hear this. I need to know that faith sustains me. In the book of James says, I laughed so hard at this last night. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Does that equate to you? No, when you hear trials, you think, screw this. I'm done. Throw your hands up. This is ridiculous. Why me? Why me? Poor, poor me. And we start asking to be or not to be, and we start getting all weird. But it says, have joy. Count it all joy. Now, not happiness. Joy and happiness are two different things. Happiness says, I'm glad this happened to me. Joy is a peace and a comfort and a confidence that can only come from the Holy Spirit. That's what joy is. Count it all joy. Things may suck around you. But count it all joy. This is why. For you know that the testing of your faith will produce steadfastness. So as your faith is being tested, you'll be able to endure more faith opportunities. Why is that important? Why are you like, I'm good. Just I'm good with no faith if I don't have to suffer anything. Because faith is a powerful thing. I didn't go too much into it this, but you know what faith can heal people? You know, it can heal marriages. It can heal the things that you've seen or the things that you've done or the things that you've experienced, the shame and stuff you may be feeling, that God can release that through faith. He says that with faith, you can move a mountain. And how many of us know we go to a Christmas party at family and you go, there's a whole bunch of mountains here that need to be moved. There are family circumstances and situations that can only be moved because we have faith in what the Lord is going to do as we live out that faith. Faith is powerful, and we have to go through junk in order to build it. It's like lifting weights. We've got to tear, we've got to and pull and stretch, and then we're able to bulk up. And then one day you can look like Chris Martin, who's at Kids Life right now. Ladies, don't go looking at Chris Martin. Guys, don't go looking at Chris Martin. You can look at him. Now everyone's going to go, why is everyone ignoring me? Anyway. He's a swimmer. And let steadfastness, there we go, I did graduate, have its full effect that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You know what I love about that? You're never going to get there. No matter if you're 16 years old right now or if you're 78 right now, God still wants to work on your faith. Because no matter what age you are, God wants to use you in a powerful, miraculous way. Disneyland has height limits. Driver's license have age limits. God doesn't. Short, little, old, young, it doesn't matter. God can do a miraculous thing through anybody. Because why? Faith will sustain you. So as you face each trial, that will build your faith. If you only read the book of Acts, you look at this guy named Peter and go, man, this guy's got it going on. He's bold. He's strong. He's leading a nonprofit organization called the Church through Jerusalem, and they're all over the Middle East area. This guy's got it going on. He knows he's got it. You know, we love to look at successes. We love to go look at Steve Jobs and goes, I want to do that, but we don't want to go through all the firings that he went through. We always look at the people who arrive and go, I want that, but we don't want to actually do the work to get there. We idolize that. You know, you look at Rick Warren, this is my personal, you look at Rick Warren, who's leading a church that's changing the world. And they're just doing amazing things, and they're able to help battered women. They're able to feed the hungry. They're able to do all these crazy things and send church plants and missionaries. Look at that and go, I want that. But what you don't know is he started with a group smaller than this. You have to do the work. And so if we rewind and look at Peter, go ahead and turn to Matthew 14. So just you're in Hebrews, just go backwards. If you start hitting some names you can't pronounce, you went too far. Just go back the other way. It's in the book of Matthew 14. It's also going to be up here behind me. This is a great story about Peter walking on water. And Aaron and the worship team just sang this song. And I'm going to quote it again. But it says this. Immediately, is we're looking at chapter 14, verse 22-33. It says, immediately he made the disciples get into a boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up into the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, so the disciples are on the boat, Jesus is on the mountain. He was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves of the wind was against them. In the fourth watch of the night, he came to them. Have you ever wondered why God didn't come in the first watch of the night? You ever think God's late? He waited till the fourth watch. That's about early morning, probably around 3-ish. He was there alone, the boat by the time. It was the fourth watch of the night. He came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples... So, you ever had those experiences where you think God's just showing off? Like, you think he could have just walked around or waited or waved him down? That was the normal person would do. You know, but no, God's got to part a Red Sea. Go ahead, guys. He's got to bring, like, frogs to Egypt. Like, can you think of anything else? You want to bring Kermit and take over, like, Pharaoh? This is why we got married. We get each other. God just shows off, goes, I'm going to walk on water. Why did he do that? Why didn't he just take the swim? Did he just not want to get his hair wet? Like, had he just gotten a perm? He can't do that after 30 days? No, he chooses to walk on the water. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, which is weird, they were terrified, right? You see someone walk in the water, you're terrified. Or you're thinking, what in the world were in those loaves of bread that he just gave me? Either way, you're going, there's something wrong here. You're terrified. There's waves, there's craziness going around you, and he is hanging 10. Then Jesus spoke to them, they said, the disciples saw him walk in the sea, they were terrified, and said, it is a ghost. And they cried out in fear. They're willing to believe in a ghost before they're willing to believe in a guy walking on water, which makes sense. I've seen ghost hunters. They cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come out to you on the water. Faith would go, I see you, Jesus, over there. Good job. Come on in. Then you say, that's a faith. I have faith in Jesus. I see him over there. That's not faith. That's just you have eyes. That's not even belief. You maybe believe it, you maybe not. But faith says, let me come out to you like you are. Let me do something that may cost me my life. Let me do something that may cost you my reputation. How many of the disciples, you ever have those friends that go back, go, they just sit back and watch, and you're like the idiot who's going to jump off a building? Like, and they just go, how's this going to play out? Like, I just see the disciples going, oh, Peter, shut your mouth. Because Jesus says, come. Come out to the water. So Peter does. So Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came to Jesus. Good job, Peter. We can stop there and go, That's what I need. I need to be able to walk on water. I shouldn't fail. If I fail, I don't have faith. Good job, Peter. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." How many of us have walked away from a Sunday morning feeling, man, I feel like I can take on the world, the Monday comes and your boss gets in your face, or you don't have a job anymore, or things just don't look good, or your wife is just, there's issues going on there, and going, the winds and the waves have come, and Lord, I don't know if I can walk on water anymore. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him. Jesus is reaching out to you with his hand. He's going to take hold of you. He's saying to you this, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? I don't think he's correcting. I don't think he's looking down going, you of little stinking faith. You're miserable. You're useless. He's not saying that. He says, you have little faith. Why do you doubt? What he's doing, he's introducing them and reminding them, I am faithful. I am faithful. He says, why do you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you're a son of God, because this is reality. You will not see who Jesus really is unless you walk out in faith. What if Peter didn't do that? What if Jesus just walked in and there was no true experience of faith there? You go, oh, this crazy guy I'm following can walk on water. That's new. But no, they saw the interaction. They didn't just see what he did. They saw how he loved. Many of us are one faith experience from experiencing all that Jesus is. We are one faith experience from experiencing all that he wants to do in our lives. I love the song we sing, Oceans. You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where my feet may fail. There I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours and you are mine. Faith is both offensive and defensive. In Ephesians, it says, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all flaming darts of the evil one. See, faith sustains us. See, I have explained this a few weeks ago, but a shield is not only for blocking, it's for advancing. If you've ever seen 300, you see that. They use their shields to advance through the people. Not just to sit back and cower and go, oh, poor me, I'm a Christian, everything bad happens to me. No, you push forward. You push forward. Faith, because when you're in a bad situation, you know it. You feel like you're drowning. And faith says, take that shield of faith and you push forward because he will sustain you. He will sustain you. He will sustain you. God will hold on to his promises. He will sustain you. Something else, the most powerful thing that faith can do. Many of us have this idea of the gospel. Don't put the point up yet. Leave it right there. Many of us have this idea of the gospel. I was once a bad person, and Jesus made me better. I wasn't bad like Hitler, but Jesus made me better. Now I'm a little better than Kim Kardashian. Like, what we like to compare. That's what we like to do. We were bad, and he made us better. That's not the gospel. Jesus did not come here to make you a better person. He didn't. I'm sorry. You know what he came to do? You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that we were dead. See, dead people can't get better. They just get deader. You can put some makeup on them, and, you know, more like contortionists, but the people that adjust the face and they try to make the person look the most like we know them, because when people die, they almost look like not them anymore. You can't make a dead person better. You can't look to a dead person and go, now go to church. Well, they'll go to the funeral. They got no choice. But you know that's what it is. He didn't make us better. He made us alive. He brought us from death to life, not from good to better. or bad to good, from death to life. I love this in Ephesians 2. It says this, you were dead in the trespasses in sin in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the son of disobedience, among whom all once lived in the passions of flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. That sounds like dead to me. Our dog, since Jude has been born, has been the worst animal alive. She went through an entire thing of formula 2 days ago. How? I don't know. It was not only on the counter, it was on the toaster oven. She's 10 pounds. She's not big. And she got up there. This dog is crazy. And Erin said the other day, this morning, she says, I think our dog sold her little doggy soul to the little doggy devil. She's just miserable. Completely, what I want is what I get. She is a beast to the flesh. But sometimes we laugh, go, ha ha, crazy little dog. We're the same exact way. Some of us guys can't keep our eyes trained every time there's a woman that walks past us. Right? Some of us girls can't stop looking at other men and go, why isn't my husband that way? Some of us, we are so like, I want this to eat, I want that to eat, and we surround ourselves with the food that makes us feel better. I know because I'm one of those people, and by the way, after service last week, we talked about writing everything down that you plan before the moment, before the decision is made for you in the heat of the moment. Kirk came up to me and says, what are you doing? Are you writing down the food you're eating? Love it. I am. I have an app my dad gave me. Oh, it's called my Fitness Pal. I've been writing it down. I've been doing really good, by the way. Shopping. We see it. We want it. We get it. We are controlled by desires of our flesh. Go, I'm not dead. I'm not dead. Then try to say no to the things you know you can't say no to. You are dead in your sin. You are dead. But I love this. It says, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love for which he loved us. So if you need to hear that right now, that God is not mad at you, he does not hate you, he does not think poorly of you, he loved you. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, even when we were dead, God still loved us because it wasn't about our behavior, it's because he created us. Made us alive together with Christ by grace. You have been saved, raised us up, and seated us with him in the heavenly places of Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable, that's beyond measure, riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by the gift of God, not a result of your works, that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You were once dead, and now you are alive. That's the gospel. That's what faith can do. Not that you are better or bad and now you're good, but you are alive. When you choose Jesus in faith, you go from death to life. That's the gospel message. So when we tell people, oh, I go to church. Why do you go to church? Because I was once dead and now I'm alive. Not because I'm trying to be a better person, because you can't without Jesus. You are now alive. You went from being dead, you are loved. And so he sits you up with the King of Kings. You went from being a peon to the King of Kings. That's the gospel message. That's why we celebrate. That's why we sing a song like, awake, awake my soul. Because I was dead. He said, dry bones, speak to the dry bones and they become life. Some of us in this room, our community, our neighbors are dry bones and they want life because they want to return to the one who created them. We're not better. Or bad and became better. We were dead and we are saved. We are alive. And so for some of us, we need to be reminded of that, because we may have come to faith in Jesus a long time ago and feel pretty sad and pretty depressed and feel like nothing's good is going on for you. That's because you're not walking in faith. You wonder why the people around you are going, who is this person and why are they so down and why in the world, why won't go to their church? Because they're miserable in person, because you're not living in faith, because you are still pretending you are dead, but the reality is you are alive. And we need to be reminded that that is why we are to live in the Holy Spirit. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. He sent his Son. You guys are the pillars of fire when you've received Jesus. Live in faith. live in faith. When you live in faith, you're an example in faith. I love this. You don't have to try to be an example. You just do what it says. You speech, your conduct, your faith, your love. And next week, we're talking about in your purity. I said this last week. No matter where you are in life, it's going to be better with Jesus. So let's go ahead. If the worship team can go ahead and come up. I want to give an opportunity for you to respond, because some of us still might be in that place where you do not have Jesus in your life at all. Or you may know Jesus because you were taught it in Sunday school. You know about the historical figure, but you do not know about the life-changing, transformational God that he is. See, we need to take it from information to transformation. And I want us to do that. If we can go ahead and stand together. Yes, go ahead and start playing. If you're thinking to yourself, man, I don't need faith. I'm good. Things are good right now. I've got my 401k started. I've got the bills being paid. I don't need nothing. Can I tell you, you do? Because if you think your money is going to be your peace, you're wrong. 2009 showed us that. It's going to only be in Jesus. And so I've asked the team to go ahead and just, they're going to play through Oceans again. And I want us to take the time. We're not going to take a lot of time, but you can continue this at home. Maybe you need to have a conversation with your spouse. Maybe you need to have a conversation with your kids and go, we need to no longer live like we're dead, but we need to live like we're alive. Some of us, our marriages might be dead and you need new life in them. Some of us, whatever it may be, there's actual healing physical healing that needs to happen. And as you need to pray, say, Lord, whatever it may be, you need healing in this. Make this dead part of my body become alive again. Because if he can make dry bones get together and make flesh and be all creepy zombie-like, he can do a powerful thing through you. So they're going to sing this song, and I want you to respond, Lord, give me faith in this area. Maybe it's your finances, and he says, right, and start giving. Maybe it's your marriage life, and says, Lord, I need faith to love my wife the way I need you. And you need to start taking out the trash cans. Because that's the thing. You're going to respond in faith and God's going to give you something to do. And that's the way you actually respond. So let's go ahead and spend some time in worship. Just a little bit.
Your grace abounds in deepest waters. in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my faith could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior.
When you walked in, or you can also pick these up at the resource center. But there's a little spot in the back that says next steps. And some of us, it might be simply, man, I've decided to follow Jesus for the first time today. Others, man, I need to join a group, or I need to start doing my daily devotions, or I want to be baptized, or whatever these small next steps are. You have to make that decision. I can't make that for you. Because at the end of the day, guess where I'm going to be when you're in front of Jesus? Hope, I don't know where I'll be. You're there, hopefully. But I won't be there. Your parents won't be there. Your best friend won't be there. Your spouse won't be there. It's going to be you and Jesus. You respond in faith. Maybe simple is, I'm going to step out of faith and bring a friend. Because when you, the more faith, guess what? It's going to build steadfastness. It's going to build a part of your life that you never knew that was going to be there. You're going to see more of God in your life when you spend more time stepping out of faith. So I encourage you, take this thing, and all this does, it helps us to help you. Because this church isn't just go, hey, listen to us, have a good day. No, this church is, how can we partner with you throughout the entire week? Entire, whatever season of life you're in, we're here for you, for each other, to respond. Respond in some way, and I guarantee you, when you respond to him, he always responds back. I guarantee it. I want to invite... I'm doing something personally. This isn't a church group or anything. Thing that I'm just doing this personally, and I just wanted to, I just felt for me I needed to do it, and I wanted to extend the invitation to anybody else. This is one of the most amazing books you could ever read. It's called Celebration of Discipline by Richard Foster. Amazing. And his little workbook has 13 weeks where I'm going to spend 13 weeks and focus on relearning what the different spiritual disciplines. That's prayer, fasting, celebration, all these different things. And I'm going to just take the summer and do this. And if anyone else wants to come along, awesome. If not, that's cool too. I'm just doing it on my own. But this is the way that I personally, I'm going to step out of faith. Because there's some big things I need God to figure out with me. There's some big things I need him to answer. And I need to be refined in me. And so if you go to our website, you go to the Get Involved, and there's a resource tab. Click on that, and then you'll see a picture of these books. You can click on it. It goes directly to the Amazon link if you want to purchase that. We don't get any of the money, any of that. I'm just letting you guys know. But that's a way that I'm going to be stepping out of faith and saying, Lord, I want you to speak to me. Because how ridiculous would it be me tell you to step out of faith, and I'm not going to do it myself. God wants to talk to you. He wants to guide you. He wants to lead you. Let him lead you.
We hope today's message brought to light ways where you can discover, encounter, and display the love of Jesus. We want to invite you to check out our Life Church Foursquare Facebook page and our website at www.lifechurch4sq.com.